Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go. So let's get to the Cowboys. Their offense is riding high after dropping 40 on the Jaguars, but their wide receivers have been criticized all season as they head into Sunday's huge matchup against the Redskins. Dallas Morning News columnist John Owning wrote, "The Cowboys should do whatever they can within reason to acquire Amari Cooper." This comes after Jay Glazer reported last week that the Raiders would be open to trading Cooper. He has one touchdown catch for the disappointing Raiders. Shannon, should the Cowboys trade for Amari Cooper?
Yeah, I believe they do because I think they need help at that position. Huh. Although those receivers might disagree with me, they believe they're open more times than not.
True.
And it's been maybe a play calling or maybe lack of production at the quarterback position is the reason why their numbers aren't better than what they are. But I wouldn't pay a big price for him, Skip. Because it seems to me that the Raiders don't want to pay any big contracts unless it's the head coach. You know, they get, let Khalil Mack go. Now they want to move on from Amari Cooper, who's they picked up his fifth year option, which is going to be slightly less than $14 million. I believe his first 2 years, Amari Cooper went to the Pro Bowl, had over 1,000 yards as a rookie, went over 1,100 his second year. I believe some of his lack of production can be tied directly to Derek Carr. Are we going to just, like, sit here and pretend like Derek Carr haven't just, like, fallen off a cliff from where he was an MVP candidate just 2 or 3 years ago, Skip? I think some of that's tied to Amari Cooper. Now, Coop, if you look at him, Skip, he'll go games, he'll have 50, he'll have 40, he'll have 200.
Yep.
He'll have 30, he'll have 50, he'll have 60, he'll have 155. Mm-hmm. And so I think the thing was frustrating to Coach Gruden is that the consistency. Where is the consistency? Well, I say, okay, where's the consistency at the quarterback position? Because normally guys that put up numbers at that position, their quarterback plays consistent. And when their remember, it's a dependent position. It's required for me to do my job. I need you to do your job. And if I do my job really well, it's normally tied to your – now, there are outliers. DeAndre Hopkins is doing a phenomenal job before he got Deshaun Watson. Now, how he was able to do that is unbeknownst to me. But he was, and he's still doing a phenomenal job now that he has Deshaun, a quality quarterback. But for me, I would do it. I would look into it, Skip. I'm going to kick the tires. What are you asking? But it just – it doesn't seem to me that Jerry –
I mean, they're asking for a first.
No, I ain't give you no first. Now get off my phone. This long distance call, too. Click. But here's the thing. If you didn't give up a first, you didn't give up a second for Earl, who's a more proven, consistent player than this guy, I don't. What makes me think now? You take a third or fourth rounder for him. Okay, you got yourself a deal. But I'm not giving up a first or a second.
So I agree with what you just said. I sat right here and said, Earl Thomas, I'm giving a first rounder
for.
And I think Jerry let sort of pride goeth before the fall. But then poor Earl fell. So he's gone. He's out of sight, out of mind. God bless him. I'm knocking on wood for him. Hope he can bounce back and save what's left of his career. But if they do pull off an Amari Cooper deal, I will root for Amari Cooper, but I would not trade for him. I might give a fourth for him, but I wouldn't give more than a fourth.
Really?
And I definitely wouldn't give a second or a first.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
It's funny. John Gruden is just tearing it down so he can try to build it completely back up. But he got two first-rounders for Khalil Mack. And I'm still saying that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because Khalil won't always give you that sort of clout, that might that you saw on Monday Night Football against Aaron Rodgers. He'll have big games, and like Amari Cooper, he'll have some games that he's got that disappearing gene like Amari does. Now you see him, now you don't. But let's look at Amari's body of work. He was the fourth overall pick in 2015. So if I just look at those years all the way up to date, what has he done in the big picture of the league? Well, he's 23rd in catches in the NFL. Not bad. 17th in yards. Not bad. Not great. 22nd in touchdowns. It's okay, but not great. It's not fourth pick of the draft kind of production.
Right.
But now we get to the two big negatives. Over his time in the league, he is tied for first in drops. And trust me, Raider Nation knows what I'm talking about. He will drop balls that hit him in the hands. So he's tied for first over those three-plus years.
Right.
With Michael Crabtree and Demaryius Thomas. Those are the three tied. The other stat that jumps out to me is He is tied for 210th in the NFL in percentage of targets caught. Well, that's a big stat. You know, you throw somebody a whole bunch of balls, right, and they rank all the way down at 210th in the league, right, in the percentage of how. Remember what Dez last year?
Right.
He was just catching about half of the balls.
Correct.
Him. That's not enough.
Right.
Not good enough.
No.
So that scares me too. Comes and goes. Derek Carr, responsible? You're right. Maybe he should share 50% of the blame for this. But I'm just not sure Amari Cooper plays with a hot enough motor to come in and change life in Dallas.
And how much – you took the words right out of my mouth. How much is he going to change? Remember, Dallas is not a throwing team. So now he comes in. And the thing is with receiver, Skip, we just want to feel the ball early. Mm-hmm. I used to tell Mike, I said, Mike, come to me early. Mm-hmm. Give me one pass early. I don't care what it is. It can be a shallow cross. It can be a stick route. It can be a seam. I don't care. But just let me touch the ball early. Mm-hmm. I mean, they expect receivers to go the first half or the entire first half and don't catch a pass. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, what happened on the first time they throw you the ball? You wouldn't tell Tom Brady to go the whole half without throwing a pass or a running back without, you know, carrying the ball. Just give me the ball early. And I think the thing is with Coop is that he gets frustrated and his concentration wanes. Mm-hmm. If you don't give a receiver the ball early, because that's what they try to do, if you think about it, Skip, we're going to try and double you because we want to get you frustrated. Because we get you frustrated, guess what you're going to do? You're going to start headbutting coolers. You're going to start throwing water. You're going to start throwing clipboards and all kinds of stuff on the sideline.
Yep.
Now we got you.
Mm-hmm. So you got one huge break as my Cowboys go to Washington and you continue to root against my Cowboys. It sounds like Tavon Austin is gone for a while because it sounds like
he
tore his groin. Huh. He's going for a second opinion. It does not sound good, but he's definitely out for Sunday. So he'd only caught 7 balls and he'd carried the ball 6 times, but at least he gave you a threat. Mm-hmm. You know, he can still fly.
Oh, he can still run.
Yeah. So could he fly behind people? Well, he had the big one against the Giants,
right,
but not much else.
But I prepared you for this. I said, Skip, he's a gadget guy.
Okay.
And you told me last
year. Now my gadget's hurt.
Yeah.
So I don't even have a gadget anymore. Right? So my leading receiver is Measly Beasley. Cole Beasley has caught 26, and my man Zeke has caught 23 balls. So that's sort of all you got at the receiver. Because Allen Hurns, after he appeared to criticize Dak last week, although he said
Dak
not.
Didn't throw no passes.
Yeah, didn't throw any passes till the end. It was already a route, and he threw him a fade down in the end zone. It looked like he lost it in the lights. He didn't even make a play for it. And I said, like, that's it. I'm done with Allen.
Oh, you done with that? Oh, whoa. You can't be done with a guy that's on the roster.
I know. But my man Bryce Butler, friend of the show, is healthy this week. He had a groin issue last week. So this will be the first game he will be, number one, eligible to play in and healthy to play in. He was Dak's favorite target last year. He averaged 21 yards a catch. That's pretty good.
You believe he's going to play this week?
Yes, I do. And I believe he's going to catch some balls.
Look at you.
Week.
Look how you parked up.
Yeah. Butler's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Washington's going to stamp that out.
Okay, well, maybe. I don't know. But, again, would I like to have Amari if you just handed him to me? Yeah, I'd take him.
At the right price.
Yeah, for a fourth, maybe I'd do that. But that's not what Gruden's doing. He's trying to stockpile ones.
Yeah.
He's going to shop him, and if somebody bites because they're desperate. But Jerry's not going to bite and give John Gruden a one for Amari Cooper.
Especially, you know, look, you're trying to sit. If I drive by somebody's house, Skip, and I go and they got a couch sitting outside, and I go to get the couch, they're like, nah, that's for sale. Okay, what you want for it? I want $500. No, I saw it sitting inside the road. Mm. You put Amari Cooper on the market for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't putting A.J. Green on the market.
Yep.
They ain't putting Julio or A.B. on the market. Mm-hmm. You put this dude, Skip, the dude is only 4 years into his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fourth pick of the draft, 4 years into his career, you got him up. So something, you trying to tell me something. And remember, you see him practice every day.
You do.
You watch him in the game. So you have a little bit more intimate knowledge than what I have. So you trying to tell me something.
Mm-hmm. I'm out.
So now you don't want him at all.
I'm out on Allen Hurns, and I can take or leave Amari. They're not going
to. How you? Hold on. No, you know what, Skip? I'm starting to figure you out.
Yep.
You out on.
Starting to?
Yeah, I'm starting to figure you out.
Starting to after all these months?
Because here's the thing, what I'm starting to see. You out on Allen Hurns for not because he hadn't caught any passes, because he criticized your guy.
He took a shot at my quarterback. You're done, man.
Whoa, what? Did he lie? And he didn't lie on your quarterback.
You know what the quarterback said quietly? challenge accepted.
No. He said, we good.
Who had the best QBR in football last Sunday? My quarterback. Challenge accepted.
If you don't mind me asking, you remember LeBron won his first championship, and they asked him after he won?
Are we putting Dak in the
No. I'm asking, what did LeBron say after he won his first championship?
It's about damn time.
It's about the time that Dak Prescott won the QBR battle in this season. It's about time.
Well, it's only been 6 weeks. I don't know.
Well, I mean, how long you want him to go?
Well, he was fourth last year and third the year before.
I bet he won't be fourth this year.
I don't know. It's a long year. I do think he will. He'll just keep climbing.
Oh, so he gonna keep checking it down?
Mm, he might.
Skip, you know he like 25th. QBR. You
probably third best receiver is Jeff Swaim. Do you know Jeff Swaim, the tight end?
He's caught
16.
No.
He's in your league as a tight end.
No. He played. He played the position I played.
Yeah, he just played. The position.
That's all I got for him. I know you want him to have a.
Yeah, he loves Bryce Butler.
Yeah, he loves him.
I mean, he's talking about like Bryce Butler coming back like he's Jerry or somebody.
Do you remember that Arizona game last year? Remember the bombs he caught?
Skip that.
Monday night football. It was not.
It was the second game of the season.
Third.
Oh, my bad.
After the Denver debacle?
He doesn't forget, Shannon. Come on. You know better than that. Yeah,
we're a year removed from that.
We got this. No mercy.
Hey, guys. Jenny Taft here. More of the Undisputed podcast is on the way. But first, I wanted to talk to you about one of our sponsors. If you're like me, you know that navigating the stock market can be daunting. Fortunately, there's Robinhood. Robinhood is an app that makes buying and selling stocks, options, cryptos, and more simple and intuitive. With data presented in an easy-to-digest way, Robinhood is a non-intimidating method for stock market newcomers to invest with confidence. And here's the best part. Not only is Robinhood easy to use, it's all commission-free. That's right, no commission fees. Other brokerages can charge you up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood allows you to trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Even better, Robinhood is giving Undisputed listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Just sign up at undisputed.robinhood.com. That's undisputed.robinhood.com to start investing today. Now, back to the show. No
mercy. The Patriots are taking their three-game winning streak on the road Sunday against the Bears. Tom Brady's offense is averaging close to 30 points a game, but now he'll face a Chicago defense led by Khalil Mack. The star linebacker already has 5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, and yesterday Bill Belichick was asked about Mack and a Hall of Famer he used to coach in New York, Lawrence Taylor. Take a listen.
Bill, you've seen a lot of good pass rushers in your career, starting with Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White. Does Mack sort of rank up there with one of the better ones you've seen?
We're talking about Lawrence Taylor now. Yeah, I'm not putting anybody in Lawrence Taylor's class. So you put everybody down below that. That's with a lot of respect to a lot of good players now, but we're talking about Lawrence Taylor.
Okay, Shannon, what do you make of those comments from Belichick?
Skip, I'm surprised. Knowing the coach Belichick that I know that's covered him for the last 10, 15 years, he normally goes out of his way to heap praise on the other team's best players, be it wide receiver, running back, defensive player, no matter what the position he plays. If he's a great player, Coach Belichick goes out of his way to heap praise on him.
Yeah.
What I can't understand is that, Skip, they just ask him a simple question. They didn't ask him to compare Mack to LT. Mm-hmm. They asked, they said, Coach Belichick, you've been in this league for a while. You've seen some of the great pass rushers. Mm-hmm. They also mentioned Reggie White. So he's seen Reggie. Obviously, he coached LT. Mm-hmm. He saw the Derek Thomases, the Bruce Smith, and some of the other greats. That's what they're asking. How does he rank? Does he rank favorable? We're talking about LT here. I'm like, that wasn't what they asked you. Do you think, does he rank favorable to some of the all-time greats? Now, I think what he's trying to do, Skip, you might get mad. You might think I'm right. He might be trying to, he heard Brady on Monday again, or Tuesday, say he's going to play till he's 45. Well, he get Khalil Mack riled up.
Maybe.
Khalil Mack go do what he's supposed to do.
Belichick is capable of that.
I'm just joking.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just joking. Here's the thing. Obviously, LT is an all-time great, Skip, and I believe he's the greatest defensive player to have ever stepped foot in the NFL. I can make a case he's the greatest NFL player.
Wow.
But Coach Belichick has really never had any problem. Now, just 2 years ago, he was playing the Houston Texans. They asked him about J.J. Watt. He says, I don't put a whole lot of people in the same conversation with LT, but J.J. Watt deserves to be in the conversation with that. LT. He Those are that. What he said. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody deserves to be in the conversation. Mm. We know LT great, and a lot of times, Skip, I think because of what LT did, some of the things that he did off the field when he was playing, and now that once he retired, a lot of the things he it diminishes it. Well, it doesn't diminish it, but it casts a doubt of how you perceive him. Mm. But yes, LT changed the game. He made two positions famous. He made the left tackle famous because you had to have one, because if you couldn't block him, you couldn't beat them, meaning the Giants. Mm-hmm. And he made that position the position he played, the rush linebacker. So everybody wanted a Khalil Mack, a Von Miller, a Derek Thomas, or Cornelius Bennett. All these guys you see was because of LT. So until, and this is why I can't put defense, until you go get, says, okay, I don't see a guy, the AFC running to get guards to try to block J.J. Watt. I don't see teams trying to go get tackle, defensive tackles to mimic J.J. Watt. That's what teams did. Minnesota Vikings got Garrett Zimmerman. The Rams went and got Irv Eatman. The Redskins, Washington, they got Joe Jacoby and traded for Jim Lachey because they said, we can't block this guy.
That's correct.
That's what Joe Gibb changed his entire offense. He added the H-back. He said, because we can't do anything with him. He's wrecking us. That's what LT was. But Skip, all the reporter asked him, does Khalil Mack compare favorable to some of the great pass rushers that you've encountered in your time in the NFL? It was a simple question. They didn't ask him, is he LT? Is he better than LT? Do you see? That's all they asked. So I don't understand why he got so upset at the line of question.
I don't either. But there's always method to his madness. He does not speak without thinking. He does not look before he leaps. He anticipated that question, and he said exactly what he had planned to say. Now, the MO of that, what's he trying to pull off there? That's up for debate. I'm going to tell you what my opinion is. Neither J.J. Watt nor Khalil Mack belong in the same conversation with Lawrence Taylor. They just don't. Neither one of them do. If I just go off eye test, I'm talking about watching TV, which player leaps more, which player do I see change the game more? Khalil Mack changes the game more than J.J. Watt does. That's just me. And I'm going to point out to everybody, J.J. has had the luxury since 2014 of having Jadeveon Clowney either opposite him or across from him or wherever he lines up, because J.J. moves all over the line. But Jadeveon Clowney was the first pick in the draft. And the other night, you know, two Sunday nights ago, Dallas at Houston, the guy I'm just hiding my eyes for is Jadeveon. He's the one who's terrorizing my quarterback. Not J.J. J.J. got there a couple times, but not like Jadeveon did. And Whitney Mercilus, he was a late first-round pick. He has 38 and a half career sacks. Well, he's in there. He's in the mix, too. Does that not make it a little easier for J.J. Watt?
Of course, because you got two other guys that can also
Two other guys. So Khalil Mack has basically been doing it by himself as just that pure Von Miller Memorial edge rusher, just flying off the edge.
Look at Oakland.
Yeah.
They have no pass rush now that he's gone.
Bruce Irvin can have his moments. But again, it was mostly Khalil Mack or bust. Okay, now what am I reading into what Belichick said? I just don't think he respects Khalil Mack. And I don't think John Gruden respected Khalil Mack. And I'm going to give both the coaches this much, because I've watched a lot of Khalil Mack. And 2 years ago, I really liked the Raiders to rise up and win the wild card when we were going back and forth on the show. So I'm rooting for him all year. There would be games when he would drive me crazy because he doesn't play Mack's hard every play. I don't know. Does J.J. Watt give max effort every play? You can make the case. But but the point is, Khalil will have stretches of disappearing act. And at New Orleans, against New Orleans last week, he said he had a bad ankle, but he just drifted out of sight. You know?
But so, and the thing
I'm sorry, at Miami. I'm thinking of Miami, not New Orleans.
Khalil, the thing is that if you look at his body type, he probably reminds you most of LT, because they're built very similar.
They are.
Both guys can hold the edge. And in the 3-4 defense, which LT played his entire career, is that you must maintain integrity by keeping your outside arm free. You weren't getting around the edges on LT. He wasn't going to let it happen. But what he also could do is that he loved chasing the play down from behind. And your quarterback, Skip, I mean, the way he could just rag the – like I said, it would be hard for him to play now. Because think about this. Reggie had 198 and a half sacks. Bruce is over 200. Can you imagine if they threw the ball back then like they throw now, Skip, and guys had the opportunity to rush the quarterback then like they do now.
Yep.
Back then, you know, everybody wanted to run the football. Everybody said, look, bring your defense, bring your run game. You can go far. Now everybody's like, okay, we're going to throw the ball short passes because you have a better chance of getting a first down if you throw it three times than you do if you run it, Skip. Because the pass interference, the holding calls, the roughing the pass on the quarterback, it used to be, man, so many things could go wrong if you throw the football. Now, so many things can go right if you throw the football. But I didn't understand because I had to go back and listen to the video, too. I said, well, maybe the guy asked for a comparison between Khalil Mack and LT. And then when I heard it, the guy said, well, let me hear it again. He's like, does Khalil Mack rank favorable to some of the all-time great rushers? Yes, that you've seen. He's like, we're talking about LT. Yeah, we know LT, what LT represents. But I just didn't get why he got so upset. Now, we know how he loves LT. LT swears by Coach Belichick. I know LT a little bit, got to know him a lot since I've been in the Hall of Fame with him. But Skip, he's the guy that I didn't get a chance to play with him because in 92 when we played him, he was a shell of himself and he was hurt. But Skip, I watched him, I took him off on tape. Skip, he's the baddest thing I've ever seen. Nobody could do what he could do.
Nobody.
He was, when they say he a grown man, he was a grown, fully grown man.
Plus, Skip, he played with rage every down.
Every play.
Yep.
And remember, when LT first got to the league, the sack wasn't an official stat. Give you some context, Skip, LT, Bradley Chubb is a rookie. Imagine Bradley Chubb winning Defensive Player of the Year. Not Defensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. That's what LT did in his rookie season when the sack was not an official stat. And he won MVP.
And he had a signature play on Monday Night Football, unfortunately, at the expense of one Joe Theismann because he broke his leg.
And he started the strip sack. LT said it wasn't enough to get the quarterback. He said, I want the ball too. So he started the chop. So every time you see the quarterback now, what are guys trying to do? They come with the chop trying to get the ball out. That's LT. He's special. And I just don't know what Coach Belichick was going with this. Maybe he knows that he's hurt. He's like, you know, I'm going to get him riled up. Maybe he put that thump on Tom.
Maybe.
And get him out of my hair since
think Belichick loves him some J.J. Watt because he's a coach's dream and he's a great guy off the field and he stands for all the right things. And every time he has played against J.J. Watt, he's tried to almost butter him up with
Shit, he should have had LT because LT never did the right thing off the field.
That's what I'm saying.
even when he was there, LT
all he did was win championships.
Yes, right? Sleeping meetings.
And so if you go back 2 years ago to when we first started this show, remember, J.J. had won Defensive Player of the Year three times at that point, 12, 14, and 15.
Right.
And then there was the NFL players ranking vote, and I believe he ranked number one, and you agreed with
that.
You said he's the best player in football above the quarterbacks. And I'm like, he just can't be better than a quarterback. So I continue to track his impact on his team. So now J.J. Watt, in the games that he has played in, is 49-45. Is that all his fault? They haven't had quarterbacks for much of that time. He's 2-3 in the postseason. I don't know. I never see it. Like, my eye test never says, oh, that guy just took the whole game over.
But he can't, Skip. He can't wreck a game. But there's a distinction that needs to be made. You can be the best player but not be the most important or most valuable player. I believe J.J. Watt was the best NFL player the last year he won Defensive Player of the Year. But a defensive player can never be more important than a Brady or a Breeze or an Aaron Rodgers because they don't touch the ball every single play. And if I want to, I can take you out of the game. I can double you, I can triple you, and make sure you're neutralized. What can I do with the quarterback? Because he's going to get the ball. You can't keep the ball out of his hands.
Yep.
So being the best player and being the most valuable or the most important player are distinctions that we need to make. I do believe that when they voted, J.J. Watt was the best player. Was he more important to his team than a quarterback? Absolutely not.
So the weirdest stat of all on J.J. Watt is that the 1 year he played only three games, which was 2016, going back 2 years ago, that was the year the Houston defense led the NFL in fewest yards allowed, and he only played three games. Well, how do you figure that? I don't know. I'm just not sure he has the impact that, well, obviously, Lawrence Taylor just impacted every game. He was the reason they were winning championships.
Right.
Charles Haley in Dallas was a reason that they should have won four straight championships.
Well, I think the thing is, and those guys had impact once they got to the playoffs. We saw J.J. his rookie year against Cincinnati. He intercepts the ball and goes back. We're just waiting for him to have that signature game especially at this juncture of his career, that gets them over the hump. We've seen LT do it. We've seen some of the other greats do it. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I don't know what Coach Belichick, when he's been so effusive in his praise, Skip, of other greats, regardless of position. Mm. So this is, like you said, there's normally a method to his madness,
yep.
But this is out of character for Coach Belichick when describing another great player.
I just don't think he has that much respect for Khalil Mack. And he wanted to make that known.
I want to make sure he heard the message before the game, which I think he might have heard.
Okay, Brady, watch out. No
mercy. Well, tonight is the night. LeBron makes his Lakers debut in Portland, and we are joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Thank you for joining us.
Great to
Welcome
be back.
Back.
Yes, good yes. to be back.
We've been looking forward to it. Just in time. So where will those Lakers finish in the West, in your opinion?
Skip, you know, both you guys, I've been saying since LeBron went there and Rondo and all those guys, 53 wins. And LeBron James is the MVP. Now, I heard you earlier, you said 51. That might be a better prediction. I'm going to stick with my 53, but above 50.
You're disqualifying your own pick?
No, 51, 53. I'm sticking 51. With my 53. I'm just saying 51 might be more
accurate. Somewhere between 55 and 51, or I don't
know. Nah, I won't go that high, because I may be a little high with 53. But here's my rationale, and I'm going to say third in the West. I'm going to say third in the West.
You like Chris.
By the way, who do you have second, just so I know?
I mean, I think like everybody I've had, Houston. Obviously, that wasn't very encouraging. No. But, you know, I'll stick with Houston. I think LeBron is going to be more focused this regular season than he has been in the past few. Because in Cleveland, let's face it, the last three or four regular seasons, it's all been about June. It's all been about getting to the finals, seeing what we could do. This year, he won't admit it, and he shouldn't, but inside, I'm sure he knows it's a very much of a long shot that we beat Golden State in the finals, right? Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to be a little more focused on the regular season, number one. Secondly, I think he really wants that MVP. Five would tie him with Michael Jordan,
okay.
And then he'd be the player at the latest oldest in his career mm-hmm. to win it. 16th year mm-hmm. right now is Karl Malone, 14th. I think LeBron really wants that. To get the MVP, they're going to have at least 50 wins. Mm-hmm. That's how it's been other than Westbrook when he had the triple-double.
LeBron could shatter that mold.
You think you think something like 45 wins he
Not
could get
45,
MVP?
47, 48. 47. Just if they make
if
the playoffs.
If they're close.
If they just make the playoffs with kids and cast-offs, that would be the narrative.
I don't think he could get it in seventh, eighth, or the eighth seed. Sixth, if it's close, you know, but maybe it'll change because Westbrook did get it without,
Could he average a triple-double? Yeah, he could. Seriously.
Well, in this day and age, let's face it, with the offenses spread out,
and the pace.
These numbers that we're seeing, everybody's putting up huge numbers. You saw, it's only game one, but Ben Simmons gets 15 rebounds. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis last night. Like, you may see a lot of guys with these huge numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that Westbrook's averaged a triple-double 2 years, I don't think you could do that 10, 15 years ago because the pace was so much different.
Alfred Payton last night had a Jason Kidd triple-double, 10, 10, and 10.
Yeah. So LeBron's typical numbers, while they're great, 27, 8, and 7, it may be a lot of guys putting them up. They won't average to shoot 54% from the floor like he mm-hmm. probably will, but they could put those types of numbers up. So here's the key to me for the Lakers. LeBron James has to be off the ball and in the post more than ever. Now, not exclusively. You want him handling it sometimes, but they got too many guys that are worthless without the ball. What's Rondo without the ball? What's Lonzo without the ball? Even Lance Stephenson. Those that know LeBron best have told me he will willingly play off the ball if he trusts the decision-making of a teammate, and that's where Rondo comes
right.
in. And maybe eventually I think Lonzo or even Brandon Ingram could get there. So, but if LeBron plays his typical way, bringing it up court 70% of the time, driving and looking to kick out the shooters, they're in trouble.
Yeah, because they don't have shooters.
Kicking out to shooters.
That's the thing. Who?
Really?
I'm with you. If they play that way,
no.
They don't want to play that way, but if it degenerates into that because that's LeBron's instinct mm-hmm. and he's the best player, that it could be a long year.
And are they going to play any defense?
Well, the thinking that they've had when they put the team together was let's get a bunch of guys that can switch everything. And we're versatile, we're long, we got some positionless guys. I think they're capable of doing it. You got McGee at the rim. I'm not trying to make him out to be Shaq, but he's at the rim to protect the rim. And you've got long guys. Ingram could be a good defender.
If he wanted to be.
Right,
I
if
agree.
He wants to. So. Yep.
But what we've seen from LeBron when he was in Miami, the only guy he really trusted to handle the ball, I mean, Rio handled the ball some, was D-Wade. And when he went back to Cleveland, was Kyrie.
Right.
He had no problem playing off the ball with those guys. Kyrie, because Kyrie could dance with the ball, give LeBron a break. Now, Kyrie had the ball. Kyrie wasn't looking to get other people involved.
Yes.
Kyrie was looking to get Kyrie involved, which I had no problem with that, because let Kyrie dance. I wanted to see it. Give LeBron a break. D-Wade was getting everybody involved. This is what concerns me, though, Skip, is that you and I have talked about this. When you have so many guys that can handle the ball and can run initiate the offense, what good is Lonzo? I mean, Lance Stephenson with the second unit the other night, he almost exclusively had the ball. Brandon Ingram, we saw the entire game, Skip. Basically, Brandon Ingram had the ball in his hand.
He did.
And we know LeBron, when rubber needs to meet the road, LeBron James is going to have the ball in his hand. Rondo's been a point guard his whole career, so we know he can obviously initiate the offense. He's been led the league in assists 4 times. He's been an all-star. He's been an all-star. He's been a point guard on a championship caliber team. But I still believe that he wants to play off the ball. Because he's like, man, this will be a lot of stress off of me if I can play off the ball. 51 wins, 51. Hmm. Because LeBron James, I already know he's good for 13 to 20.
And that's down from 54.
You keep coming down. Well,
here's the thing, Chris. I originally said they're going to win somewhere between, 53 and 55. I wanted to go 53. You, Skip, forced me to like have the courage of your conviction, take 55. I split the difference with it and went 54. But after watching them play and watching them shoot, I said, ain't no way. I said, I went 51, but I'm going to third seed. You got them seventh seed, which is disrespectful.
I have LeBron's Hollywood Lakers winning 47 games and finishing seventh in a loaded West, especially loaded at the bottom. And I'm going to say this one more time. It is mind-boggling to me how the Portland Trail Blazers finished third in the West last year and now are picked by most people to finish out of the playoffs.
Right.
What, 10th, 11th, from third plummeting, and they lost Shabazz Napier and they added Seth Curry. Not Steph Curry, but Seth Curry. Not bad.
Yeah.
And this happened, and I got to think Portland tonight is like, watch this, man. I think at home on, Thursday night national TV, they're a 3-point favorite. I think they're going to do a number on LeBron and company. He's lost his last 5 there. And in LeBron's debuts in Miami and in his return to Cleveland, he had 8 turnovers in both those games. They lost at Boston, and then they lost at home to the Knicks when he went back to Cleveland the second time. So, I don't like this matchup tonight for this young and old team.
LeBron going to show you.
Okay.
You remember what happened last time he was there?
Okay, but I know he's going to show me because I am with Chris on this. He will win the MVP, and he will lead this league in scoring, and I will not be surprised if he averages.
You think he'll lead the league in scoring?
Yes, I do. 32 a game. That's what I think he'll average.
No, he's giving that, you know how many shots that's going to take?
What did I tell you yesterday? He's going to have the greenest lights this side of Christmas. You know, it's going to be all Christmas lights all year long for LeBron.
He's green.
Seriously, because the pieces don't fit to me. They have 4 point guards, and the best point guard on the team is that guy. He's still the best point. There's nobody. He's the best passer in basketball.
He threw some passes in the preseason
that
he hadn't thrown.
Right.
He's just sensational. Yeah. Like, he's the best. He needs the ball. I get what you're saying. I know your heart says, on this team I need to post up more or whatever, you want to play off the ball. I get that. But when push comes to shove, it's just he's born to have the basketball.
Because
in his
the only guy that can handle the ball on the Lakers roster that you must get the ball out of his hand. They're not trying to get the ball out of Rondo's hand. They're not trying to get the ball out of Lonzo's hand. They're trying to get the ball out of LeBron's hand, and now he can kick. But what's he going to kick it to? That's not Korver. That's not JR. That's not
Mike
Miller.
I told you, the hardest coaching job I've ever seen going into a season is what Luke Walton faces, because I don't know how the pieces fit. And he's going to have to mix and match and find some way to finish games. And when it's time to finish games, I know what Coach James is going to tell him. He's going to say, I want Lance in there. I want Beasley in there. I want the guys who have been there and done this. But I want JaVale. Mm-hmm. he'll want the vets in there.
They're going to have to run, too.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? I've already told him. The reason I was more bullish through the preseason than you were. This is going to be the most fun team to watch in basketball because they're going to push it like crazy. Yeah. Now, will they play much defense? I'm not sure. I agree. Brandon can play it if he wants to. Josh Hart can play defense if he locks in and wants to. And, by the way, LeBron's going to love Josh Hart. He'll be their glue guy.
Yeah, I agree.
He'll play a lot.
Well, put it like this there. You say they got young guys. You say they got kids and they got cast off. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what LeBron should call Luke Walton. He should call him MacGyver. Because if he can put all these pieces together and make it work, because you know MacGyver be stranded somewhere. He had a clothespin, a toothpick, and some gum. And the car would start driving. He'd start driving the car. So if Luke can put all this together and make it work, Luke going to get Coach of the Year, too. If he put this here together, well, has anybody ever gotten Coach of the Year with LeBron on their roster?
Mike Brown.
Mike Brown. Did he?
Yeah.
Mike Brown in Cleveland. Year? First stint. I think it might have been when they won 66.
66 and 16.
LeBron second to last year. First stint, yep.
Okay.
Or maybe it was the last year.
Maybe last year.
But he might have got fired right after.
Yeah, because they
lost. Won 66
they
lost to 61 his last 2 years okay. there. Mm-hmm. One Mike, of those 2 years. Yeah. He won
now Mike's going to get him another ring this year in Golden State, right?
Yeah. I can't. I think we all know how it's going to end. But I think the journey is going to be exciting. Yeah, there's all these other stories.
See, we get so caught up in the destination.
But we all know how it's going
to be. We get caught up in the destination. You wanted to go to Aruba, but you didn't look at all the beautiful places that you flew over to get to Aruba. See, that's what LeBron says, you know what? I got so caught up in the last 8 years in this destination. The finals. I forgot what it's like to smell the roses along the way. So now he's in L.A. The weather's nice. The flowers always bloom. The palm trees are always blowing in the wind. He's like, I'm going to enjoy this. But next year, he got something for you.
I think there's truth to that. I think he's going to enjoy a season where the expectation isn't finals or bust,
right? First time in his career.
Right.
There's no expectations.
Sometimes you get caught up in breathing, you don't inhale.
Yeah, and also he's going to have to stop and smell roses like the Timberwolves, who I don't have in the playoffs, or the Spurs, who I don't have in the playoffs.
You don't have the Spurs?
I don't have the Spurs in the playoffs. They lost their point guard. Really?
That hurts, but Pop, I don't think Pop needs much. And they still have two All-Stars.
Well, then
people are acting like they don't have two All-Stars.
Maybe I better bump the Lakers down to eighth.
Oh, show enough look good.
You got him as MVP, LeBron?
Yeah.
We got him.
Yeah, okay.
We agree.
It's a runaway.
Anthony Davis, I don't know.
Anthony Davis will be close.
If they have a good season.
But my guy show enough look good in Toronto. Didn't he look good last night?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You
don't need to say his name anymore.
Who are you talking about?
You know we talk about old show.
I don't say his name anymore.
I don't say his name.
Just
he
that
was your guy.
Up north.
Danny Green.
That was your guy.
Danny Green looked good last night. He looked really good. How
Danny
are you, Danny?
Oh, man. He healthy. I told you.
They going to be tough.
He healthy. Ooh, he
got a shout out there.
He healthy.
He won't stay healthy long.
Don't do that, Kip.
He'll come
too soon.
Knock on wood. You always knock on wood when you talk about guys.
I'll help you. I'll knock on wood for you. No mercy. And back to the NBA. Kevin Durant can become a free agent at the end of the season, but he is not eager to talk about it. KD told reporters Tuesday, quote, "Don't ask me every time you see me." But his brother, on the other hand, has no problem speaking out. Yesterday, KD posted on Instagram saying, quote, "One down, 81 more, what a night." His brother then commented, quote, "Yes, sir, brother. Filling the hand up before we get out of here." He later clarified he meant for KD to get more rings in Golden State before he retires. Not next year. Chris Broussard is still with us. Now, this is interesting. He makes the post. He tries to then clarify it. But what do you read into the comment from his brother?
The clarification sounds very shaky. Because right? Even KD says 81, like this year.
Right.
So when you tweet, get out of here, it comes in the context of this season. So, I don't know. Maybe the Tony's right. Look, I don't think KD knows for sure what he's going to do. Here's the deal. The rumblings around the league are that this is probably his last year there. The New York stuff is real. Scott Perry, who's the GM in New York, worked in Seattle when they drafted KD. They became close. KD, you know, he likes New York. And so that's real. But the sentiment in Golden State is that KD will not finish his career here, but there are some people that think he will stay next year because he wants to play that first year in the new arena. So that's what they're hoping for, at least.
That's what they're hoping.
Yeah, that he stays another year. And here's another reason they think it could be 2 years. Okay, we mentioned New York. Kyrie coming out and saying, I want to stay in Boston. Now, whether that's true or not.
He said that in Cleveland, too.
Right. But if that's true, if Kyrie stays in Boston, then who's KD go there with? Now, it could be Kyrie or it could be Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. If Jimmy Butler is up in Miami or somewhere where he stays, now who you going there with? The 2 years thing makes sense in Golden State because if I'm KD and I want to go to New York, I want to see, first of all, the development of this culture. They got off to a good start last night, beat Atlanta. See how they develop, see what Kevin Knox becomes. But more importantly, what about Kristaps Porzingis? If he only plays 15 games this year, how are you going to put your faith in him if you're KD when he's been hurt all the time? So you might want to see him develop, see him stay healthy, mm-hmm. see him sign long term, and then also do me and Kyrie go, do me and Durant go, so or me and Jimmy Butler. So the 2 years thing kind of makes sense. One thing I don't think will happen, certainly I don't think if KD leaves next year, he doesn't go to the Lakers, mm-hmm. not in 1 year. I don't think it makes sense for him to go help LeBron win rings. And KD thinks he's better than LeBron.
Yeah.
He thinks he's better than LeBron.
He knows he is.
And he felt that way when he went to Golden State. He wanted to see LeBron in the finals and show that he was.
Yeah,
that's true or not, that's
he did want
that was
to see
his
him,
view.
But he wanted to see him right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He wanted to see him with his back.
Yeah, he didn't want to see him with OKC. He didn't want to see him with that. It's no, easy.
Right, I would have wanted to see LeBron with Steph and Clay and on him. But I'm just saying, KD thinks he's better than LeBron. And I like that mentality.
Yeah, I ain't got no problem with that.
So
it's not true, but I don't have no problem
with
that.
Let me say this one thing. This is the only scenario I could see him going to the Lakers. If he does stay in Golden State for 2 years, okay? Let's say they win the next two rings. He's got four now to LeBron's three. LeBron's 2 years older. Hmm. You would think not quite as good. Maybe no one else has joined him in L.A. And Durant would go there as like a savior rather than a co-star or the second guy.
Maybe.
And then he could feel like, okay, I always got one more ring than LeBron. So that's the only scenario I see him going to
the
Lakers.
We're getting AD.
That's real.
And I told Skip Bayless that a long time ago.
That could,
you know.
That's the guy the focus is on.
Yeah.
That's the guy to focus on.
Put that in my pocket.
LeBron's client.
But I know that, Skip. Don't do that, Skip. Why would you say that? Rich Paul oversees Clutch Sport. Mm-hmm. LeBron is a client in Clutch Sport. Mm-hmm. That's it.
The fact that AD went with Rich does at least put L.A. right at the top of his list.
Does that allow you to pay under the table money?
Let me go ahead and go.
I don't know.
It's hard to ignore when a family member says something like this, because family knows you so well. And remember, I've always felt this way. Family must be very careful about what they say, because people automatically assume, be it right or wrong, is coming from said player that they're talking about. So you have to be careful, and he tries to backtrack this. There's a reason why Kevin Durant signed one-year deals. He could have easily signed a five-year deal when he first went there. LeBron signed one-year deals because he wanted to have assurances from, what's the owner? Dan Gilbert. Mm-hmm. There was no assurances that need to be had by Joe Lacob and Peter Gruber. They're going to always do what's right by the players. They always do what's on the up and up. LeBron had to sign these one-year deals to keep Dan Gilbert's feet to the fire. And then when he can no longer hold his feet to the fire, he says, I'm bouncing. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for Kevin Durant to do this. So it tells me that he always wants his options to be able to bounce when he wants to bounce. Not when, well, I got two more years, I'm going to bounce after that. Kevin Durant says, I can pick up these pieces right after this season and hit y'all with these 22s. I'm up out of here. Mm. So, with that being said, Skip Bayless, Chris Broussard, Kevin Durant should feel he's better. He's not. But you notice when he started puffing out his chest and walking back when he joined them other two light-skinned fellas down in Golden State? Because I was a freshman. My brother was a senior. When I walked into high school, I was the baddest thing because I know couldn't nothing touch me because I had a senior for a brother. Mm-hmm. He got real tough when he joined them two light-skinned guys in Golden State and Draymond, didn't he? Now, all of a sudden, he want to talk about how tough he was. He ain't say a word when he was in OKC when LeBron wiped the floor with him every time he saw him. Mm.
Who was Draymond in the parking lot crying for on his cell phone? You got to come save us. Who
was
that? Kevin Durant.
Yes, but when he was in OKC and LeBron had him crying.
When? When he was a baby?
Oh, now he a baby now.
He was a baby.
Sometimes when babies are bad, you got to spank them. You spare a rod, you spoil a child. He was bad. And you put him over here. Yah, yah, yah.
And then the baby grew up.
He went and got some more babies. He went and got some more babies.
No, he didn't. He took over two finals, game threes in the King's house. He took the games over back to back. Finals MVP. It wasn't about Steph. It wasn't about Clay. It wasn't about Draymond. It was about that guy, 35. So, what I know about Kevin Durant's family is he kind of rises and falls with all of them. Yeah. It's way up and it's way down. Sometimes they're a little estranged. Sometimes he's not speaking. He's had issues with his mom. We've had his mom on a show, but he went for a whole year. They were kind of split apart. Yep. And it just, I'm not going to put all that much stock in Tony's comment on an IG post from his brother Kevin, because silly me, maybe I'm too old school, but when I first saw filling the hand up before, I thought, I'm going way back, but I'm going Steel Curtain Steelers. They're one for the thumb, right? So filling the hand up to me, my first flash was, oh, he wants to win three more. Like they want to just go dynasty here and fill up his right hand with rings and then bounce, as in retire. That's what I thought, you know? Okay, because I don't think Kevin wants to play forever like Tom Brady does.
This is what we know for certain.
Okay.
As long as he plays in Golden State, he'll never be greater than LeBron. He's going to have to go elsewhere, win a title for even to be a conversation. You can't go join a team that's 73-9 and then think you're the best. That's never going to happen.
Okay, but do the hypothetical. What if they win five rings in a row? What if he wins? Not him, just him. Five in a row. You don't think that qualifies him for all-time greatness?
That one title that LeBron got in Cleveland means more than he had gotten three in Miami or four in Miami. Just that one.
I do think, to Skip's point, and we've talked about this with LeBron, you know, the millennials in 10 or 15 years may have him as the GOAT over MJ, because the details get muddy. So you are right. If we can look at Kevin Durant one day and say he won five straight when LeBron was in the league,
and just do
the details get murky.
Okay, well, what if he is the MVP of the finals five straight years? I know that's virtually impossible to pull off, but what if he did?
Right.
Would that not qualify him for all-time greatness?
But they're going to look at it like, well, hold on. The dude went and joined up with a two-time league MVP in his prime.
Details get murky.
No, there ain't no details. No, with you, they get murky. Uh-uh. He just happened to join two of the top five shooters of all time. You're going to say Steph Curry. If Steph Curry, I believe he's the greatest shooter of all time. Klay Thompson ain't far behind. Whether you like Reggie Miller, you like Larry Bird, or whoever you like, when it's all said and done, Klay Thompson is going to be a top five shooter. Mm. That's what he joined, to take down LeBron.
Who's the best player on that team?
KD.
Not even close.
KD is the best player, but the most important player is Steph Curry. I still believe that.
Skip, though, if he went to New York and won a championship,
if Porzingis
is healthy,
okay, with Porzingis,
and if you go there with a Kyrie or a Jimmy Butler, that's what has to happen. You do that, though,
you can
win the East, and then you can win it all. That would be huge for him.
Mm-hmm. But you better hurry up, because we got somebody coming.
I think it would be huge to go help LeBron win a ring.
We only know. No. That'll change my mind.
That'd be LeBron's 17th year.
So next year.
Yeah.
If you're KD, though, you got to be more competitive. At least get one.
Oh, now you want him to be competitive?
No, I'm saying.
He joined Golden State? Now you want him to be competitive?
I get it, but I'm saying. If he thinks he's better than LeBron, that means he wants to be better than LeBron. He wants to be regarded as better than LeBron. So he's got to feel like, if I get at least one more ring than LeBron, and then I go help him when he's an old man win a ring, maybe Durant will be the finals MVP playing with LeBron.
Now you want to feel you better.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that's probably what he's thinking.
But where was this talk at when he was in OKC? I ain't see no chair stuck now.
Okay.
No prude. I ain't see no preening.
He was stuck with a primary decision maker who he thought he couldn't win a championship
with. MVPs on his roster.
Skip, you've questioned, though, whether Durant could be the leading guy. Not just the best. He's the best player. But is he the leading guy? I mean,
no,
it's probably Steph.
The GM said no.
Can he be the leading guy on a championship team? We still have those questions out there.
Al Horford got more votes as being a leader than Kevin Durant. Al Horford.
Yeah, but Kevin Durant won all the big, the clutch categories, all the shooting.
He won one category. One.
Who do you want taking the last shot? Kevin Durant.
One. Yeah. My guy got eight of them.
And you know what? I always question it because Sam Presti questioned in Oklahoma City all those years, who was the alpha? Who do you want with the ball in his hands at the end of the game? And they decided it was Russ. That was always their choice. And Kevin knew that.
They had him, guess what? They had him in game five, game six, game seven. Yeah, and he had the ball in hand. Okay, wow.
Kevin really disappointed me when Russ first hurt his knee and he was gone for the Memphis series.
Yeah. And what happened?
Kevin shrank in
that
one.
Awesome. Yeah.
But then the most shocking thing I've seen in watching the NBA is with the weight of the NBA world on Kevin Durant's shoulders because he had left Russell Westbrook and joined forces with the champs. What did he do in that first time around the finals? Boy, he just blew me away.
Let's be fair. It's a lot
easier. He had pressure on him?
No, because the defense has to pay so much attention to Steph and Klay that it was so much. I'm not taking anything away from what he did.
No.
But let's
Steph just averaged 29-8-9 in that finals the first year.
It's just easier when you got two other stars that the defense has to focus on.
And yet LeBron James wasn't paying much attention to KD on defense because KD pulled right up in his face in the first game 3 2 years ago and just hit it right in his face. That was the shot of the final.
He made a shot, Skip. Yep. But you make it seem like LeBron had 40 that game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, triple double.
I mean, come on, Skip.
They had the lead in that game and couldn't hold it.
Yeah, you know who else had the lead?
Well, they did.
Tom Brady had the lead in the Super Bowl. 33-32. He had the lead.
Yeah, but then he had to score 41 even have a chance.
So LeBron needed to come down and hit another three.
Are you telling me LeBron's better than Tom Brady?
That's all I'm saying. Mm. Who took that three? Somebody took a three and didn't draw iron.
Who?
I don't know. Who took that three?
Which one are you talking about now?
The one they lost 2 years ago. Who took that three-point shot and didn't draw iron, Skip? Somebody was 0 for 7 from three that night.
Which game are you talking about? I don't even know.
Game three of the NBA Finals. One guy took a three-pointer. One guy was 0 for 7 from the three-point line that night. You know who I'm talking about. I ain't saying no name.
Because
ain't
none of my... Korver. Kyle Korver.
Kyle missed
one of the best three-point shooters ever.
And another guy was 0 for though.
The guy you said should have taken the shot from the corner.
Yes,
that guy?
Yes.
Yeah, when LeBron passed up a chance to just go to the free throw.
He got Kyle. Great. You just told me yesterday Kyle Korver is a top five three-point shooter of all time.
Top six.
Now you don't want to take it a three-point. No
mercy. So Jimmy Butler was in the lineup last night for Minnesota despite all of the potential trade drama. Butler scored 23, including a game-tying three with under a minute left. But it was not enough, and the Wolves lost to the Spurs. Skip, I'm going here. You first. What did you see from Butler?
I saw a Minnesota team that should have won the game against my San Antonio Spurs. Mm-hmm. And I did watch this entire game because I was rooting for what is left of my San Antonio Spurs, especially after they lost their point guard, DeJounte Murray.
And their best player.
Yeah. That guy, the guy who wrecked my franchise and left it for dead, plays for Toronto now. And it's funny that you bring that guy up because – this guy, Jimmy Butler, last night, even though he didn't, for some reason, ride with the team to the game, he came by himself. When it was time to play and then it was time to leave on the team bus, he left on the team bus. And when it was time to play basketball, he played his guts out in this game. And Jimmy Butler was really, really good down the stretch of this game. Mm-hmm. In the Spurs home opener, obviously on their court, he took the game over down the stretch. Yep. And they got one bad call that went to Secaucus, New Jersey. And I don't know, it was one of those, what are you seeing? But it was right. An out-of-bounds call on Bertans. And they gave the ball back to the Spurs after the ref had called it Minnesota's ball. And I think Minnesota would have won the game with that call.
Right.
And as we discussed earlier in the show, I don't know how this happened, but Carl Anthony Towns fouled out of this game.
Yeah.
He got three offensive fouls for setting screens, moving picks, as they would call them. And he wound up playing a grand total of 22 minutes and 23 seconds and scoring 8 points. If he plays his usual 37, 38 minutes, there's no way that the Spurs are going to win this game. And
or give you his normal production.
Just normal, yeah. He's the guy the GMs voted they want to start their team with, K-A-T, Cat. So I appreciated the fact that Jimmy Butler played that hard under those circumstances, because the guy you mentioned who was in San Antonio last year just flat out quit on that franchise because he wanted out. So he just quit.
He was injured.
I'm injured. I can't play. He played 9 games last year.
Didn't he look healthy last night? Yeah, he looked good last night.
He looked real good. I guess he was real happy. We'll see how long that lasts in Toronto.
Stop it, Skip. Stop wishing bad on people.
But the point is, I know Glenn Taylor, the owner, continues. He did another interview, I think it was yesterday, that they had on the local Fox, but he just continues to say, we got to get rid of him, we got to trade him. And I don't get it, because all the quotes that I saw from Jimmy Butler indicated that he just wants some appreciation. And again, you say he wants his money. I get that. And they gave big money to Carl Anthony and to Wiggins. And yet, in the end last night, the coach's pet, Derrick Rose, or what's left of him, he took the last second shot that could have tied the game, and he took a wild driving shot that banked and airballed.
Yes.
Didn't touch iron. So, again, they should have let Jimmy shoot that shot, because I believe he would have made that shot. So I still think this is fixable. And if for some reason, somehow, some way, if Jimmy Butler stays in Minnesota, they're going to make the playoffs this year, because they're just that good.
He looked like Jimmy Butler to me. Mm-hmm. The one thing we know about Jimmy is that he's going to play hard. He plays hard on both ends of the court. Now, he didn't shoot the ball particularly well, Skip. He was 9 of 23.
Yeah, but when it was time, he made a late three.
Yeah, step
money.
Back. Yep. I agree with you, Carl Anthony Towns. I don't know what's going on with him, because he's picking up where he left off in the playoffs, Skip. You remember the playoffs, he was awful. He's too good of a player to foul out in under 23 minutes with 8 points.
It's hard. It's hard to do. It just doesn't happen because you get 6 in the NBA. Obviously.
Right. Yeah. And so he's better than that. He said that he was happy with the intensity. Jimmy's right. It can be fixed. He's like, I'm not going to let you give Carl Anthony Towns 4 years or 190 or 5 years for 190. Give Andrew Wiggins 4 years for $150. And now you think I'm about to take 4 for $110? That's not going to happen. He's right. It can be fixed, Skip. Give him his money. He wants something comparable to what Carl Anthony Towns wants, what Carl Anthony Towns got. Even though they have not rendered that to him yet, I never doubted for a second that Jimmy was going to come out there and dog it, that he wasn't going to play hard. Because if he doesn't play hard, that's a knock on him. Other teams are like, well, if Jimmy doesn't get what he wants, he's not going to play hard for us. No, he's going to give you everything he got. He's going to leave it on the court. He's hard-nosed. From Houston, Texas, grew up hard. The dude was homeless.
He was homeless.
So I already know what it's like. He doesn't want to go back there. And guys, give me some guys that's had adversity in their life. Those are the guys that you want to ride with. Jimmy Butler, I ride with him any day. You know what you're going to get from him. So I'm not surprised that he played this hard. But something's going to have to give. I mean, when the owner is openly and publicly saying we need to trade this guy, Skip, how do you repair that?
Yet, what did he yell at Scott Layden, the GM, in the practice?
Right. He said, you need me.
You need me. Well, that's what he's saying. Because the guy who's got the dog in him, and I'm talking about it in a good way, is that guy.
Oh, he's the only one.
The alpha on this team by far is that guy.
Yep.
If you take him out of this mix.
Taj plays hard.
Taj is what he is.
Yeah, right.
Nope, I agree. Is what's left of Derrick Rose? No, you can't do that. Like, this team becomes... it becomes a bad team without Jimmy Butler. A bad team. And I'm saying that with Carl Anthony Towns. And
that's what he said, Skip. Yeah. Pay me my money. You need me. You talking about you need me, so give me my money.
Yeah.
And now let's go try to win this thing. But you need me. So whatever you're thinking. I mean, you paid all these guys, but you need me.
Okay. So they do. And yet it feels like If it's the owner's call, it's going to be over.
But here's the thing.
And it's going to be over for the Timberwolves.
He could have easily been, but who has the compensation that the Timberwolves would like? Because remember, Skip, they gave up Chris Dunn and they gave up Zach LaVine. So they gave up, I think, the fourth or the fifth pick of the draft and Dunn, and I think LaVine was like 13th or 14th or something like that. So you gave up two lottery picks. Okay, who has that kind of compensation to give you that's also wants to give Jimmy Butler because he's made it known where he would like to go.
Yep.
So now he's kind of depressed his value. You know he's unhappy. Timberwolves know he's unhappy. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the Kyrie skip. Once Kyrie let it be known he wanted out, it limited what you could and couldn't get.
No, I got it. But not once last year in a practice did Kawhi Leonard yell at Greg Popovich,
or
you need
Buford.
Me, or RC, you need me.
But he knew it. He knew it. You need on show enough.
Yeah.
Skip, look at him. He got them hair braided. He got them thing, them cornrows in his hair. He ready to play. He got that thing fresh. You had it fresh. I don't know where you found somebody to do that up in Toronto. Hey, Toronto, shout them out. Let me know where they cornrow hair. I'm going to come in there and do a piece.
He actually did an interview after the game, and I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is.
You do know who he is. Kawhi Leonard, 2014 Finals MVP, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, 2015-2016.
I'll take Jimmy Butler over Leonard any day. I will.
I like Jimmy Bucket. Yeah. I don't like him that much.
No, I do.
Oh, Kawhi.
Minnesota's got to figure out a way to keep him.
You see that claw?
The claw.
The claw. Yeah. Skip, that joke had 13 rebounds. Hold on. How many rebounds he had? I think he had like 13, 14 rebounds. 13 rebounds? 24-13. I ain't never seen him play like that before.
Just wait.
24-13.
Give him a couple of weeks and his thigh's going to be
aching. Hold on. Let me see that.
Watch.
Okay, y'all had two. 24-13 and two?
Yeah.
Kawhi was on them boards.
That's enough work. He can take the next couple
of
weeks off.
Don't do that, Skip. And he had what? No block shot, but no. Okay.
Shannon, we're not talking about Kawhi. Sorry. Bringing up the numbers, but we're talking about Jimmy there.
Oh, Jimmy Bucket. I love Jimmy Bucket.
I want to see how the Minnesota fans receive him tomorrow. I think that'll be really interesting.
He the Cavs. He the dog y'all got.
He is the dog.
And the image there needs to be recovered a bit.
He's harsh. Like he's harsh like those Minnesota winners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you like the harsh, you like cold, you like grime, you like grit, that's Jimmy Bucket.
It is.
Yeah, the whole Minnesota nice, it's not always the case, you know? Yeah. They like to be treated well.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.